Welcome to Pep and Chat with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Hey, pals. I'm Megan, and this is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about touring and snacks, and sometimes not that at all, but sometimes we do, you know. I just want to do a shameless plug before we get into today's very exciting episode. If you are in Saskatchewan, you can see my band and I perform. We are at The Exchange on November 26th, and then we're at Amigos on November 27th, playing songs off the new record. So there we go. Just had to get in a little, you know, shameless self-promotion. Okay, today's guest is Zan Foth. They are amazing. Great songwriter, great human, and this was just like one of those situations. I know you've heard me say this before, but this is one of those situations where I'm just really grateful for the podcast, so I have a chance to reach out to someone that I kind of know and be like, hey, I want to be your friend. Will you come on my podcast? And yeah, this was a really lovely conversation. Also, bonus, I feel like we get some really great culinary tips in this episode as well. So let's get right into it. Today's guest is Zan Foth. I feel
it's
like
happening.
This is real life. I like to start every episode with just some yelling right off the top.
Yeah.
Just cheering, yelling.
Woo!
Yes!
Podcast! Pep and Chad! Woo!
I really appreciate the enthusiasm.
Megan. Nash.
You know, this also really makes me happy because... shout out CJTR. They play the show every Wednesday morning at like 9. So someone's going to probably just be waking up to this. And I like that idea.
I like it too. You're welcome, whoever you are.
How are you? Thank you so much, Zan, for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. At times like this, I'm grateful for this podcast because... I feel like we're online friends, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're friends. Oh my gosh, it's such a weird, awkward way to start a conversation.
But we're gonna meet in real life at your show in Saskatoon in a couple weeks. So like we're gonna cross that bridge so soon, and that's so exciting.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm really excited for that. And I'm so excited that you're gonna come to the show. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I just feel like this podcast is like such a nice excuse to like reach out to people and be like, hey, you wanna Zoom?
Nice.
You know, so yeah, thanks for agreeing to be on the podcast. Oh, I forgot to tell you too, we can't swear on the podcast. I forgot to tell you. That's now people
Have I sworn yet? Have you noticed if I've sworn yet?
No, you haven't.
Okay.
You haven't. If you do swear, and for the listeners, because this does go on community radio, that's why we can't swear on this podcast. But if you do swear, Logan, my partner is very patient, and he takes the time to like he does the tech stuff on the other side after we're done recording, and he
cool.
will like scoop out the swear, and then we add Shiloh's bark.
Nice.
Just to really draw emphasis to this, you know.
Yeah.
But I recorded Shiloh when I wanted Shiloh to be on my album, so then I had all this audio of him barking, so it's like, well, censored by Shiloh, that's what we'll make on the t-shirts. Speaking of recording, I was listening to your music right before we got on this conversation, right before we got on the Zoom call, and I really wish that I had wrote your songs. I Hate Reaching Out is such a good song. It's such a good
song. Thank you.
I wish I wrote it. I want to eat it. You know when you hear a song and you're just like, oh, that's so good. I just want to eat that.
It's like, I want to take a bath in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about all these compliments? I've just
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks so much for listening. And yeah, I'm so glad that you liked it. I worked really hard on it, and like the people that made it with me like mean a lot to me too. So it's always just nice that, and also like I love your work too. So it's just always nice when an artist you like likes your work back. It's always special. So thank you.
Well, it's a gorgeous song, and all your music is rad, and it's so riffy and catchy, and I just love it. I'm curious, like, who are some of your musical influences, and like, do you self-produce as well?
My friend Will Queering from Close Talker, he produced it for me. Yeah, so we worked really closely on it together. I wrote all the songs, and then he produced them. Sorry, what was the first part of the question? Or was that, did I answer that entirely?
Well, you know, no, but this is so classic to the way I speak. I'm like, what about this and this and this and this? It's like an excited small child. That's how I've always
I love that.
I always speak. Thank you. Thanks, pal. I was curious, like, who are some of your musical influences?
Yes. So when I started learning guitar, I was listening to Feist's album, The Reminder, constantly. Mm-hmm. And then I listened to her album, Let It Die. And yeah, like very heavily influenced by Feist when I was learning. And then became a big fan of St. Vincent as well. Huge fan of her guitar playing. Just like, and her songwriting and artistry, everything. Like, big fan. Yeah, there's like quite a few influences, but I think those are two of like the biggest that like come to mind that I've like listened to their albums on repeat, like over and over again. And I also, like, when I was first starting out to learning how to play guitar, the first show that I ever played, probably like 14 years ago, was I opened for Andy Schaaf, along with, like, it was back when they had little shows with like 7 people on the bill, and like just these really long acoustic shows, and they were so fun. Yeah, so I was like the opener that night out of like 7 people, and Andy Schaaf, I'm pretty sure, headlined. But yeah, so I opened for him for my first show, so that was really cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
Always love Andy Schaaf.
I like, I'm so with you. Love Vice, love St. Vincent, love Andy Schaaf, and yeah, you just sparked this like really nice memory in my brain of like going to these shows that had like so many bands on the bill. So, you know, like,
where it's almost like, oh God, this is a lot of bands. Wow. Nice.
100%. It's like, I live at this venue now. We are all here. We're all here together for hours. Yeah. There's something so special about that. The other day, actually, I went to my first show since the pandemic, like first indoor show in the audience recently. And it was like,
yeah,
it was so awesome. And like, also like so overwhelming. And and it was like, there's 2 bands on the bill. I saw the Garys and Wolf Willow.
Cool. That sounds so nice.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It was a really special show. And like, it was special for so many reasons. Like, it was so, I was like, when am I going to be able to see like the Garys singing with Wolf Willow? And like, when Wolf Willow also has like the whole horn section, a string section, like, it was just like, it was so fantastic. But then I was like, by like 9:30, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be up way past my bedtime, you know? So I can't even imagine like going to like a 7 band bill these days. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just am adjusting. I've gotten to some routines during the pandemic that I'm just like, it's different. But have you been playing many shows or like been to many shows recently? And like, how do you feel?
Yeah, I have not been to many shows recently at all. I think I went to like an outdoor Albert Street Festival. This little festival that this guy named Nick Nibbs put on. I think he puts it on with a couple other people. I just can't remember who, but Hey Nick. And yeah, so I went and like checked out some of the acts there, and it's just nice. Like it's on the front lawn of his house. People set up and perform, and then there's yeah, they like block off the street and everything, so people just chill outside. There was lots of space. Yeah, so that was really nice. And yeah, I haven't been to anything indoors yet. Your show will be the first one. So that'll be exciting. Yeah, and I haven't, like the last time I played like an in-person show was on my birthday, like a week before the pandemic. Yeah, and that was, yeah, that was the last time.
Oh, wow.
I've done like some virtual stuff. But yeah, I've been taking a break, and it's really nice because like my voice has been changing with testosterone, and it's kind of a humbling experience because like I used to, like I have no regrets, but like my old voice, I was just really comfortable with singing and like I knew it inside and out. And like there's just been so much change that's happened, and that just takes time. And it's sort of like, I don't know, feeling really good at something. Like, I don't know, it's like dropped my ego like a little bit or something, where it's like I'm sort of a bad singer now. And like it's not going to be that way forever. Mm-hmm. But it's just like there's not like a level of expertise, or like, I don't know, you know, like I'm like not a great singer at the moment, and that's fine. Like, you know, it's just going to take practice and getting to know my voice and having puberty finish. But yeah, I want to wait until I feel really confident and good, because I feel like people will remember a bad show. So, and I'll remember a bad show. Mm. And like, I don't know, I don't want to play when I'm not feeling like fully ready, and like, I'm going to like feel super good about it. So I'm taking my time.
Yeah, I totally respect that. And yeah, that makes sense. You are a Pisces.
Yes.
I was raised,
how about you?
I'm a Scorpio through and through and through. Like,
oh wow, did you just have a birthday then?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. I saw on Instagram.
Yeah, I turned 32. I've been driving legally for half my life.
Whoa, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks,
old timer Nash.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, like I grew up on a farm. I grew up on we had cows, cattle ranch, and grain. And so I practiced driving like in the field a lot as like when I was pretty young, you know, like just like driving in the pasture or whatever. But like for me, like getting my driver's license, being on the farm was like, this is my freedom. Like this is, you know, so for me, I've always loved driving. And then when I turned, like when I was 32, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've had that for half my life now. Yeah. But yeah, it was okay. It was a nice birthday. It's just like, yeah, it's still so weird to do anything right now. And like, I kept thinking that I would, like, I haven't eaten in a restaurant yet. I still haven't. And I look forward to that. But I just, like, it's just something that I haven't really been doing. Also, like, I haven't been working as much as I used to. So it's, like, eating in a restaurant, I'm not prioritizing it right now, just because, like, I don't have, like, a lot of restaurant food money. I want to tip nice. Yeah. You know?
Totally. So, want to be able to enjoy yourself if you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But my parents, they're both Pisces. I was raised by two Pisces.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. They have the same birthday, 4 years apart.
Really? That's a neat fun fact. I have the same birthday as my Auntie Jan.
I also have an Auntie Jan.
Really?
Yeah.
When's her birthday? Can we call her up?
Oh, let's get Auntie Jan, both of our Aunt Jans on the call.
Some Pisces Jans, horoscopes with Jans.
my Aunt Jan is a Sagittarius.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but she doesn't really travel. So there you go.
Mm-mm. the more you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kinds of Jans in the world.
All kinds of Jans and all kinds of Sagittarians. Sagittarians? I don't know. But anyways, I used to be super into astrology, and I'm sure according to some I still am, but I've really backed out of it in the last little while. But yeah. So which venue was your last show at?
Paved Arts.
Oh, cool. I've actually never been to that space, but it's like I know so many, like I know folks that work there, and I've seen so many like events, like just like up in the virtual world, like happening there, and like it just seems like there's like a lot of good things happening there.
It's really nice. Yeah, I really like the shows that have happened there, and like some of the other events that have been put on. Like it's a really great space. I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, I find it's nice too. Like this is one of my little like beefs with a little bit of the music scene in Saskatoon, or just like in general, but like bar shows starting so late, and like, I don't know, at Paved Arts, it's always, when I've played there, it's starting at like 8 PM versus like 10 PM or later. So I don't know. I like going home early, and like, I kind of shut down socially after like 9 or 10 p.m. too. I'm just sort of like a shell of a person to interact with. So I don't know. It's just nice to like be on the stage when you're feeling at your prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like Paved Arts for that. And yeah, can play a little earlier. Lots of bars. It's always just so late.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. Are you, were you full band or were you solo?
Mostly performing solo. I played with the band a couple of times, but yeah, generally just doing solo shows. And then I also, like, I got a drum machine, and I've been borrowing a friend's piano for a while. She's going to be taking it back soon though, so that'll be too bad. But I was like doing some multitasking, kind of solo shows that was pretty fun. So I'd like to do more of that in the future, but I'd also like to collaborate more too.
Nice. Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, I really look forward to when I can see you live and hear all your songs live. That's going to be super
fun.
Yeah. No, I really love your music. I really love your songwriting, and are you writing right now?
I have like a lot of little like back burner ideas that are all just sort of brewing. And sometimes if I like think of a line, I'll like write it down. I've just been like casually strumming my guitar here and there lately, but it's nice. I feel like I've been taking it's been nice taking a lot of space from music. And then now there's been some really great albums that have come out that I've been feeling really inspired by. So I feel like it'll really pull me back in, and inspiration will just like hit one of these days, and I'll get the ideas out in a way that like makes some sense. But so I feel like I'm just, trying to live life and gather some inspiration right now.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. And
yeah. I feel like, that is just like such an important part of the process that is, just not as celebrated as like the rest of the process, you know, like, Yeah, I feel that. I've been doing this writing class every Wednesday, True Nature Writing, and I just love it. And it's like, I like it too because it's like, it's something that's scheduled with other people. There's that structure there. And I know that every Wednesday at 9:30, I have to do this. I have like, I'm so many parts of my life, I'm like, I have to self-motivate and plan. So it's so nice to have something else. It's like, no, I have to do this. And if I'm not there, I have to like let someone else know. And it's hard to hold yourself accountable so often. Like I feel in the last like whatever, like 20 months or however long it's been, where I'm doing like the majority of like all the admin side of being an artist from home, I'm like, sometimes like I'm really floaty and like it's hard to stay grounded. So not only has it been like a nice anchor for me, but it's also such a satisfying, rewarding practice. And it's not like I'm writing songs, but I'm like writing, and for sure I'm writing like once a week with other folks that are like kind of like holding me accountable in that way. So, but it's like just totally planting seeds, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll become songs, and maybe they won't, but it doesn't mean that they're not, like, it's not, it doesn't have value to me or whatever, you know?
Yeah. That's really cool that you do that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I've talked about this before on the podcast, and I feel like I've put out a little bit of it online here or there, but it's like, yeah, it's called True Nature Writing, and Joyce Belcher, out of Regina, she facilitates it, and it's just like, it's a really cool practice that I'm so happy that it's a part of my life. And again, it's like probably something that if I was touring, like I know I wouldn't be able to sign up for a 6-week class, right? Like, it would just be harder to make sure that with whatever time zone I'm in, I would be able to be there at 9:30 on Zoom and like do this practice for an hour and a half with other people, you know? So, mm-hmm. And it's made me kind of rethink writing a bit, like what do I want to write? And like, what do I want to put out there? And I don't know. I've always dreamt of like, I can't even imagine the idea of like writing a book. It seems like so daunting, but I don't know. The older I get, old timer Nash, it's like starting to warm up to the idea. You know, I don't know. Like, yeah. Do you feel like your lyrics are poetry, or do you feel like, no, they're separate? Or are you the belief that like poetry and lyrics are the same or very closely tied?
Yeah, I feel like they're pretty closely tied. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel like all the lyrics that I have, it's like, I feel like I, like my memory is like erased as it's all happening, because I just never really know where exactly they come from. But I'm always like the ones in Hindsight Cinema, I'm like, wow, I'm like really proud of how I like expressed this all. But I'm just like, I don't like, because I don't know, people, if when they ask of like, yeah, like, how do you write or whatever? I'm like, I don't know. It just kind of happened. Like, I don't know. Feels like it's blocked from my memory.
Oh, like, so you don't, sorry. Like, you don't remember writing the songs or the lyrics?
Kind of.
Oh.
Yeah. But the lyrics, it's like, it's like sometimes they happen like super fast, or there's just like a little line here or there. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's such a weird process, or like, yeah, I don't know what it is about it, but I just feel like I just never, like, I remember the chords and writing out aspect, but the lyrics at all, I just forget how that happens sometimes.
Wow.
Obviously, I know the stuff that inspires it, but yeah, the words and how they get there, it's like, I don't know how that part always works. It's kind of a mystery to me.
Maybe you get in like a flow. Maybe you're like, yeah, lost in the flow, and oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'm going to ask you a question that I kind of hate being asked this question. Should I ask a question that I myself don't like being asked? But chords or lyrics, what, the melody, the music, the lyrics, what comes first?
Ooh, I'd say usually chords, yeah, and then melody, and then lyrics, somewhere in that kind of, yeah, order, I would say, for me, usually. Yeah, usually I'll just be like dabbling on my guitar, and then a lot of times I'll find it's like a mistake, like I'll make some sort of mistake that sounds kind of cool, and then that teaches me something new, and then I'm like, ooh, I want to roll with this. And then yeah, I make some chords that I like, and then I start humming over it, and then start thinking, yeah, like, I don't know, what kind of emotion would kind of pair well, or what would this melody really say? Yeah, if it had some words with it. And then that all happens. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I love that. Yeah, that's so different from me.
Yeah, I have a hard time like starting out with the writing.
Yeah.
As the initial thing. Yeah. That's I would just have a blank page forever, probably.
See, maybe this is why, yeah, maybe like, no, okay, I know, I realize I am putting you on the spot, because we are recording this for broadcast.
We're live.
yeah, this is rolling. The tape is rolling. But maybe down the road someday we could co-write.
That'd be super cool. Could we please? Oh my God. Did everyone hear that? Megan Nash just asked me to co-write. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Because, please. You know, I'm starting to realize like more about myself as, you know, like, well, whatever, as like a person, but also like as an artist. And like, just, you know, I was thinking the other day, I'm like, I wish, like, for me, I have a bit of a complicated relationship with the guitar, and I've never been as excited about a guitar as I am about like a blank Moleskine journal. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I'm like, oh, there's possibilities on that blank page, blah, 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 blah. And I wish that I was as excited about guitars, but I'm just like coming to terms with the fact that I'm not, and that's okay. Like, I think there's a bit of like, well, am I not really a musician if I'm not on the gear exchange? But I'm like, I'd so be on a blank journal exchange.
Yes,
that's like a Facebook group where we're just all like, oh, I'm not vibing on this journal, who wants this? But anyways, but I really love lyrics, and like, so to hear that you're coming at it from like a different perspective, it's like a somewhat different like way process. I'm not saying you don't love lyrics, you know what I mean when I was saying that. Yeah. But like, that we could maybe like collab.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I would love that. I would think that could be so fun.
Okay, cool. I would love that too. And sorry that I'm asking you that on like a public platform. Very public platform.
I feel like this feels like the kiss cam at like a sports game or something. Only like way better. It's like, what? Co-writing with Megan Nash? Like, yes, this is the best.
You're too good to me. You're too good to me. We need to take a short commercial break. Well, on the podcast, there's no ad, but, you know, maybe one day there could be.
Yes.
Who wants to buy a mattress? Just kidding.
You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center. And today's guest is Zan Foth. You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash. Now, more of my conversation with Zan Foth.
And we're back. And to be honest with you, I always thought that you were a Taurus because I would see on your Instagram story you would cook a lot of meat.
Yeah.
And for me, only Tauruses cook meat. No, just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. But I feel like it's a very like Taurus thing to be like, here I am cooking meat. Do you have any Taurus in your chart? I should have asked you about this beforehand. Like, would you like to be on the podcast? Do you have your natal chart readily available?
We'll have to go through this after, maybe episode 2, we could go through my chart. I have no idea.
You know, this, I just have to call myself out here. I said earlier, yeah, not really that into astrology anymore. And then immediately I'm like, I thought you were Taurus because you're cooking meat. Are you? Or like, do you have any Taurus placements? You know, look at me just eating my words. But you do like to cook a lot. And like, and I don't mean like, you're not just like, hey, look at me frying an egg. You are like cooking. There's like brisket going on.
Yeah, I love to cook. I started cooking when I was in university because I was getting mediocre grades, and I just got really fascinated by food, and I was spending all my free time and like free money like buying ingredients to cook meals with because I didn't know what I was doing, but I was having fun and watching lots of YouTube. So eventually I just decided like, you know, I was going to have to eat for the rest of my life, and I wanted to be good at preparing food for myself. So I dropped out of university and got a cooking job. And then I've just been cooking ever since. It's been like 7-ish years. And just like, yeah, cooking different places and working with food. So yeah, I really like it. And I really enjoy doing it like for myself, like at home more than ever. And just like being able to like host friends and like prepare fun meals. And in the last year, it's been fun exploring like cooking more over fire and hot coals and like barbecue. So that's become a big passion of mine. And just like being outdoors when I cook is really nice.
I love that. And that's, yeah, that's, I feel like I saw some footage of you doing like, so, yeah, some outdoor cooking over the summer. And I'm just like, oh, I wish I knew how to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's kind of addicting. I don't know. Once you get started, it's like, oh, I just want to like be outside. Like, especially now that it's winter and there's all the snow that I love, it's even a little bit more comforting knowing that like less risk of like sparks or like little fires or anything like that. So I don't know, I really like being outside and cooking even when it's snowy and cold out.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know that, okay, I'm gonna confess something here that's, do I say I'm not overly proud of this? I've been watching a lot of reality TV. I've been watching a lot of Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Do tell.
And it's like, it's so much of like everything I don't want to be in the world. You know what I mean? Like that kitchen, that toxic kitchen culture. I'm like, is this actually like Gordon Ramsay was like known for being like very aggressive. I'm like, is that what it's like in other kitchens? Like, are people screaming at each other like that? You know, like we talk a lot about safer spaces in the music scene and like doing like different, like working towards like codes of conduct and safer spaces training and stuff like that. And a part of me is like, is the kitchen world like that extreme?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it definitely depends where you are. Some places, like I've worked alongside some people that definitely like take out their like anger or stress in like throwing things and yelling and, you know, like ways that would like behaviors that would not be tolerated in like any other profession. So yeah, that's really uncomfortable to be around. But yeah, I've also worked with some amazing chefs that just like set a good example and say that, you know, like if you're like, there was one kitchen I worked in that had a punching bag in the back and they're like, you can do whatever you want to that punching bag if you're like having a bad time, but like, you're not allowed to like lose your cool to anyone. Like, you know, work hard and like make good food, you know, and try to have a good time while you do it. So, yeah. But there's definitely, a lot of things that are toxic about like kitchen culture. I'm really happy about the kitchen that I'm in right now. I am, yeah, really happy to be around the people that I work with. But I think something too, that a lot of people don't realize is that like, there's been like a big, like growth of like food culture and stuff. And I think more like curiosity and like restaurants have like big reputations and whatnot. But I think that there's a lot of chefs that like, people know their names because, you know, even Saskatchewan, we've had people be on shows and whatnot, but people never think of the line cooks that are like grinding out these really like long hours that are actually like cooking the food. And yeah, I don't know. I just think that there's a lot of like under-celebrated, underpaid, really dedicated people that love food that get taken advantage of. And that's really too bad. And I think that people need to know that, I don't know, anyone who's maybe made a name for themselves is maybe not the person to be celebrating, but the person who works in their restaurant and is cooking the food. So just think of that the next time you go to a restaurant, to everybody out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing your insight with me on that. And like, yeah, as much as I'm like watching Hell's Kitchen, I'm like, this is trash, this is trash, this is trash. It has made me want to cook more, actually. You know? And I was like,
cool.
I don't know. Yeah, like I grew up, and this is like, no, you know, I'm not trying to talk down upon any of the dishes I grew up eating or anything, but I grew up like very much like, you know, like that 80s convenience style cooking of like everything is like cream of mushroom soup in it. You know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
And like it's also like can be very delicious and very good, but like there was lots of things that we just like didn't really grow up eating. And I feel like I'm 32 now. I've been driving for half my life. And I'm like, I would like to know how to do a few more things in the kitchen, you know? So,
cool.
Yeah. So you were kind
of... What do you want to learn?
Well, I don't know. Like, this is what I want to ask you. Like, what should I learn? I'm going to make notes.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I know I'm recording, but I'm going to make notes. Because you've already...
Yeah, go for it.
We can split this up into two things, you know? Songwriting tips. Like, the how-to was number one, make a mistake and roll with it. And then find the emotion for the riff. Right? Kind of? Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing. Okay, so now... cooking tips. People are getting a lot in this episode, so I'm trying to say.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I like, I'm happy we get to talk about like food and music together, because like there's so many, I mean, as much as they're like very different things, there's definitely a lot of like things I feel are overlap in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like when I think about like cooking a soup and how like there's like a broth, like I love just like having bones, like going to the butcher shop, buying a whole bunch of bones, roasting them real hot in the oven and then simmering them, and like making my whole basement suite just like this pork sauna for like 8 hours. Well, I just like simmer this broth, but then just like the things you can put it in, and I guess like all the layers that goes into everything and all the care for all the texture of the food. And like, I don't know, it's almost like the production of a song and all these like little things that you can do to like change the different sounds or manipulate your ingredients to have like a different outcome. So I like, yeah, I don't know. I guess like with food, like what kind of foods do you like to eat? And like, is there something that you like love to eat that maybe you order places that you would want to know how to cook at home? Because there's definitely some good restaurant things that are like easy to make at home that I would like. Steak, for example, I want to make my own. I've been thinking about it forever, of just like making some videos about how to cook steaks at home, because it's just so easy, and like it's so expensive to buy a steak in a restaurant, and you can make it at home in like 10 minutes using only dirtying one pan for like way cheaper, you know?
Right.
So if you like steak, I'd love to tell you how to make steak.
Sure.
Yeah. What kind of foods do you like to eat?
I really do like to eat, most food that I've had the chance to be around, I eat it. I really love making soup. Like I've made a few soup recipes in my life. I like baking bread too, and I'm about to get back into that. I don't bake in the summertime. My house is way too hot to like have the oven going in the summer. Yeah. So I'm about to start baking again. But okay, I'd like to get really good at like making a pasta sauce from scratch, or like from... like, so I'm not buying the canned pasta sauce.
I love making pasta sauce.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well.
If you have.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, if you want to save the steak, because I don't want you to spoil your videos. You know what I mean? Like, if we can direct people.
Idea.
We can direct people to your steak videos when that comes. We'll make note.
The pressure's on. I'm going to make some steak videos, everyone.
Oh, yes.
And then
we'll share them on the Pep and Ched socials. That would be great. Thanks. But if you want to give us an intro and give me the a rundown on how to make a pasta sauce. Oh. I wouldn't say no to that.
Yeah. For tomato sauce, I love it when I have, like, if you have fresh tomatoes, amazing. I would totally put those in the oven at like 450 or 500 with a little oil and just get them like nice and burnt. It's just the best. So if you have fresh ones, I would recommend doing that as a precursor to building the sauce. But otherwise, like tomato paste and canned tomatoes, you can use to make a good tomato sauce. But yeah, I love just starting with like either some olive oil or maybe a little bit of butter if you like butter, and frying up some onions and then later some garlic. And then if you have some wine, once you have some sticky bits from the onions and garlic, that's a good time to add some wine, or a little balsamic vinegar is really nice too. And then I like to add some chili flakes and some salt, pepper. And then from there, I would add some tomato paste or the tomatoes after the wine or balsamic has reduced. And then some water accordingly to make the thickness of it seem right. And then, yeah, once it's had some time to simmer and get good for maybe like 30, 40 minutes, you could like blend it if you want it smoother or keep it chunky, whatever you like. And then I love fresh basil, fresh parsley. Any fresh herbs would just like be so nice in a sauce like that. And then, yeah, you can just balance your seasoning at the end if it needs more sweetness or if you want some heat or more acidity. Yeah, you can add things around your pantry to just balance it out. But yeah, I love making tomato sauce. And like, yeah, you can just use such simple things to make something so nice and so customized versus like, yeah, what's available at the store. It's really nice.
I love that. And you know what, when you present it to me like that, it feels like something that I'm like, yeah, I think I could do that. Yeah. I think I could do that. Yeah.
We should make pasta sauce over Zoom together.
I would love that. I would really love that. Yeah. That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, I've just been really putting you on the spot here, but if I Hate Reaching Out was a soup, what would that soup be?
Oh, good question. Let's see. I feel like I Hate Reaching Out. That one might honestly either be like a packet of like Lipton's chicken soup.
Okay.
Or just like a can of tomato soup. I think that one's just like a pantry staple, lonely, low effort. Like it's maybe something you eat when you're sad or when you're not feeling too good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there another song off the EP that you think would work in the soup world? Or or any other dish? Any other dish? If we're going to eat your EP. What are we eating?
Ooh. Well, I feel like the title track Hindsight Cinema would have to be like the meat and potatoes.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
What kind of meat?
Ooh, good question.
Is it?
Maybe like.
Thanks for having fun with me. I'm like.
I'm like a pork chop. I love a good pan seared pork chop. Like, yeah, with some
nice.
Potatoes. You betcha.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, how do you pan sear a pork chop? Like when people say it's pan seared, how do you get
yeah.
that? How do you make that happen?
Yeah, so what you'd want to do for that, if you have like a nice thick cut pork chop, like around an inch is like, I really like a good like inch pork chop. What you would do is kind of like a steak, take it out of the fridge about an hour before you want to cook it or 40 minutes and put some salt and pepper on the outside and then on some paper towel too. So it'll take some of the moisture off of it. And then if you heat your pan with some like lard or some canola oil or olive oil to a medium to high heat, you'd start with like cooking the fat cap in the oil once it's nice and hot, and then you can get a good gauge too of the browning of your fat cap. If it's like getting really browned, you can turn it down a little bit, and if it's like taking forever, you need it to be hotter then, so you can turn it up. But then, yeah, just as long as the oil is like smoking a little bit before you put the first like flat side down, then you should be at a good temperature. And also if you're cooking with cast iron and if you have like another pan you can put on top to weigh it down, that like gives you a really nice crust. But yeah, so that's another little trick I like doing. But yeah, you put the pork chop on that heat for probably like a good 4 to 5 minutes undisturbed. You can kind of like looking around the sides, if you notice that it's starting to caramelize really nicely, you could turn it down a little bit, but you never want it to be like too low so that the meat is more like boiling. Like you want it to be pretty hot, pretty fast for a pork chop. And then, yeah, once that side is nicely caramelized, then you can flip it to the other side add some butter to your pan. And yeah, like you can be pretty generous with like the fats and oils. Like, yeah, all about that. It's good flavor. And then you could add like some garlic or some like fresh herbs to your pan, or like lemon zest or something like that. And then you spoon the oil and baste the pork chop. When the second side is cooking, then yeah, you do that over the top. And then, yeah, if you notice that, like for a bone-in pork chop, for example, if you notice that it's still looking a little bit bloody kind of on the bone, you could like turn your heat right down and kind of like let your pork chop rest at that kind of like still warm but cool temperature, just so it cooks gently at the end. But yeah, depending on how fresh your pork is, you could like eat it medium or medium well as well. And yeah, pork chops, oh, so simple, so beautiful, so elegant. Like, I only ever had pork chops in mushroom soup, as we talked about earlier.
Yes.
And I hated them. They were so, like, they've been cooked in liquid, yet they're dry and tough. Why? No. What a sin. Oh. And then, yeah, ever since I worked at the butcher shop, the Pig and Pantry, I learned, like, oh, it was great. Like they, like for lunch, they would just bring me lunch every day. I never knew what it was going to be, but they would just like bring me a plate at the same time. And then I'd get to go and eat. And the first time I had just a simple pan seared pork chop with only salt and pepper. And it was a pork chop that was like the pig was slaughtered the day before. So it was like fresh, fresh, fresh. And I was hooked. I was like, this is so beautiful and so tasty. Mm. And then once I learned how to cook it, getting some instructions from my boss there, then yeah, I was like, oh, I need more of this in my life. It's so nice. Such an easy thing to do.
Nice. Oh, you've totally inspired me. You've totally inspired me because to be totally honest with you, when I think pork chops, I do think of the dry, yet
tough,
but like cooked in soup pork, and I'm so you've inspired me to try to cook some pork chops.
Cool.
So thank you for that.
Let me know how it goes, and if you have any more questions, let me know.
Yeah, I might have to send you a Zoom Zoom invite.
Yeah,
that'd
be so great.
You'll know. You'll get.
I was just thinking that we could do that, and then it would be like I'm Ratatouille, like that. What's the rat's name? Do you know?
No, I
but
don't
know. I'd be like the rat in your... Have you seen that movie?
No.
You should totally watch it. Basically, this rat teaches this human guy how to cook at this restaurant. And he like controls him. He's like inside of his hat and then like pulling on his hair and then like operating him like a robot. But yeah, through Zoom, I could try to help you cook things similar to like a rat in a Disney movie.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so lovely. That would be really wonderful. Honestly, I feel
so fun.
I feel like we should, we're really, the majority of this episode is us just making plans.
You know? Yeah, totally. It's like, we're going to co-write, we're going to. Maybe we'll drop a recipe book together. Like, who knows? Who knows what the future holds?
Oh, I love that. And, you know, I feel like, well, who knows what the future holds, and who knows what this winter is going to be like, right? Like, I know that folks got, you know, kind of tired of the lives and things like that. But, like, I meant like the Instagram lives. But I wonder, though, if like this fall or this winter, like just like if folks are going to be going out, and if so, like as if it's going to be like as frequently as it was before, or if people will still want to do things inside and like watch things online. And like, just, I don't know, the idea of like cooking together over Instagram Live, like you know, could maybe be fun. I don't know.
It could be so fun.
I've got a really little kitchen here, and my stove is quite old, but maybe if I'm cooking, it will combine the like your cooking advice and also your songwriting advice, which is like make a mistake and then roll with it, you know? Yeah, that would be really fun.
That'd be great. And then like while you're cooking and I'm teaching you how to cook something, then you'll teach me how to cut my bangs, and then I'll be cutting my bangs on my half of Instagram Live.
Just worlds colliding. Oh,
yes.
Oh my goodness. The thing about cutting your bangs, is that you can't be precious about your hair. You know what I mean? Like, that's so much of it. It's like, I get comments about people like, I can't watch this, or this makes me so anxious. And it's like, well, I can use my imagination to understand why, but if you're like me and you just don't really care about your hair, it's no problem.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, you just gotta, well, actually, it's like what you said previously, you know, you make a mistake and you roll with it.
Yeah.
You have such like lovely hair, and it seems like your hair, like,
oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's like you have naturally straight hair, hey?
Yeah, so like pin straight.
Yeah, so
yeah,
the mistakes will be very noticeable. I apologize in advance, but I'll show you my ways.
Thanks. That'd be great. And then if I screw it up real bad, then I'll just like go to my barbershop and get them to fix it up for me.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a plan B. Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah.
The last time I had my hair cut by somebody was in 2019. I found a video of it the other day because I was like, yeah, I took a video because it was a friend of mine cutting it. And like, that was like the last time. But the only way I've gotten away with that is because like I'm cutting my bangs by myself, for better or for worse. And I'm just letting the rest just go. But it would have been like, I haven't had a short hairstyle in a long time, probably not for 10 years. But so I just haven't been doing any maintenance. So that's my that's my spiel on my hair.
That's your hair story.
That's my hair story.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so long. It's gonna be like 3 years since I've had a haircut, like a proper haircut. Oh well.
Whoa. Instagram live.
For this stuff, that doesn't work for a podcast. I'm like showing Zan like my hair like through Zoom, and dear listener, you can't see that, but it's just like the bottom stuff would be stressful to cut. I think maybe I don't know. I need to put my money where my mouth is and show I really don't care about my hair. No, I don't know. I do or don't. I don't know.
Do it right now. Just kidding. Cut your hair right now. Don't do it.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe one day I'll do that on Instagram Live. We'll see. We'll see. I've done some.
I mean, you have a little history of it, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, now people are starting to comment like, "Oh no, not again." Which is, you know, is that what you want people to comment when you put out, you know, content out on the internet? I don't know, but that's what's been happening. But no, it's all good. It's all good. You know what? Enough about my hair, more about you. I think you're the greatest. I think you're the best.
Thanks, you too.
And aww. I just really appreciate you taking time to chat with me today. And you've inspired me to cook some pork chops and to write some songs and to, I don't know, just to be a good human, because I think you're rad.
Oh, thank you, Megan. Yeah, I had such a nice time chatting with you, and I've been like so looking forward to this since you asked me. And like, yeah, thanks so much for the chat. And I'm just so excited you're my pal. And
yay,
to meet you and see you perform live in like less than 2 weeks. It's going to be the best.
Oh, you're too good to me. Thanks, San. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Take care.